the Valhalla Memorial. The Valhalla Memorial is in South Germany. We might have seen this before. What it is a huge stone building, and it's actually hallways, alleyways. And lining the hallways are statues and busts, head and shoulders, of famous Germans. This is in South Germany. These are famous Germans, and they're on display to inspire us, to inspire the people as they walk down those hot hallways and see the people's faces. The genius of Beethoven, the command of Catherine the Great, and the gritty determination of Martin Luther on display for us to see and to follow, for the Germans to follow in their footsteps, and the most German of all Germans here in this hall of fame. Well, as Alison was reading this passage, we saw that this passage is actually kind of similar. It's, a hall of fame. You could also call it a hall of faith. Men and women spanning the centuries, their lives on display for us to see, and one thing uniting them all across languages and cultures and nations, it's not their Germanic roots. It's actually a word that comes up 27 times in this chapter. It's their faith. Their faith. And that is what we see and what we're inspired to imitate as we look at it together. It's their faith which Christians today, we share with them. So these people, these people are our people. These people are giants in the hall of faith as we walk along those alleyways and look at their lives. And for us today, this is exactly what we need. Whether we're looking into Christian things, whether we've been calling ourselves Christian for a while. And it's because, we may all get confused about what faith is exactly. And what is faith? I guess if we had a microphone and went around Canary Wharf to ask some people, what do you think faith is? I guess we'd get a few different responses. I guess that someone might say, faith, faith is about being generally optimistic. That person has faith. I have faith. Things are going to get better. Gotta have faith, and the song says. Things are going to be okay. Or maybe people might think, I know what faith is. Faith is essentially a leap into the dark. With no reason to believe it. We sort of close our eyes, and I don't know why I'm thinking this. Why should I do this? I don't know, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've got faith. I'm going to do it. What faith is? Or we might think, someone might say, faith is for those kind of people over there, the faith people. She's into faith, but I'm not really a faith kind of person. I couldn't have faith, even if I wanted to. Faith is for them, not for me, whatever it is. And so these words are exactly what we need because they bring real clarity. They bring into sharp focus what faith really is. And for this first reading Hebrews, just like us, we could really be inspired by real examples of good faith, the faith that God loves. Okay, let's start our passage, and we're going to see this headline at the very beginning of our chapter. The headline for today is this. This is what faith is, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is what faith is. And this is what gets unpacked in the rest of the passage, and illustrated, put on display for us as we walk through the hall of faith, so we would see and be inspired to have faith like this. And let's break this down with the first heading. Faith is what's being convinced of things not seen. People live lives and show this faith. And surprisingly, actually the first people in this hall of faith, it's not people who lived a long time ago. Surprisingly, verse 3, it's us. We're the first ones in the hall of faith. Let me read verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And we, Christians, we believe that, we trust that something is real, even though we can't see it. This is what faith is. Trusting something is real, it exists, even though we can't see it. And as Christians, we believe that a very long time ago, scientists are sort of working out exactly when, we're not sure, the universe didn't exist. No light, no time, space, no matter. And then, God spoke. Let there be light. And there was. Through God's words, Genesis tells us, comes on physics and chemistry and biology, psychology, sociology, everything that we touch and see and taste now came into being, was caused by what we can't see. God's words. Why do Christians believe this? Well, it's because God tells us in Genesis, and we trust that God is telling the truth. This is faith. Okay, and so at this point, someone might think, okay, sure, Johnny, fine. Some people might be faith people, believing, trusting, even though they can't see them, but not me. I'm not that kind of guy. That's great for them. I'm not that kind of, I'm a science guy, and I believe nothing ever unless I can touch and taste and put it under a microscope. That's what I'm all about. I'd actually love to suggest this afternoon that that's not actually true. I think it's unlikely to be true. Not just if we're sat here, but actually for everyone across London, just if we're human. Everyone on the planet, every single day, we all live our lives based on things that we can't see. Think about it. We believe in, or what do we believe in? We believe in human rights. We can't see human rights. That love is better than hate. You can't put that under a microscope. That progress is good, that good and evil exist. We believe that the universe came from somewhere. These are all things that we can't see. And so in a sense, actually, all of us, everyone on the whole planet, is a person of faith. In a sense, we all believe in things that we can't see, that unseen things are real. So I guess what is unique about the Christian faith? Well, the Christian thing here in these verses, what we're talking about is that we're trusting. What do we have faith in? Well, we're trusting what God says. That is what is real. Faith is being convinced of things that we can't see. Particularly here, that God's word, God spoke the universe into existence. With this faith, as we do so, living with our lives oriented around this way of seeing the world, that is what makes this kind of faith visible. This conviction is made concrete, I've put here, as we live lives of faith. We see this lived out. Actually, let's see that now. Let's explain this with Noah. Noah comes up in verse 7. With Noah, we see his life. He lives out this faith. It says, verse 7, by faith, this kind of faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah, we may well know the story, a man who lived centuries ago in the Bible. God told Noah about stuff that he couldn't see. Huge flood was coming to wipe away the world. On the other side of that, a new world, a new creation. He can't see this. It's unseen. But because God says it, he trusts that it's real, and he lives his life based around that fact. And that is faith. His conviction is made concrete as he hammers the nails into his boat and builds the ark. He's actually living. He's actually doing it. Living as if invisible things are real. This is faith. This is what he sees with the eyes of faith. Things unseen. We may well have heard of another Christian who doesn't feature in this hall of faith. Someone who lived in the 20th century. Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was around in the Second World War. Very sadly, she ended up in a concentration camp. But led by the Nazis for her involvement in saving Jews. Her book is fantastic. I highly recommend it. She actually wrote about faith like this. She said, imagine you're in a ship, which is quite handy because we have one right here for us. Imagine you're in a ship and you're heading across the sea. And as you do so, a thick fog descends. A sea fog, the kind of fog you can just about see the hand in front of your face, but the other end of the ship is just covered, immersed in thick, thick mist. Can't see where you're going. You're approaching the coast. You haven't got a clue what's ahead of you. But there is one way of seeing what's ahead of you, and that's if you go up those steps, up to the back there, in the helm, it's the radar screen. The radar screen that pings, beep, beep. And on there, you can see things that others can't see with their eyes. Things that are very real, and rocks and the contours of the coast, the harbours, but things our eyes just can't see. The fog is in the way. And Corrie ten Boom is saying that's what faith is. Faith is seeing things that are unseen. By listening to God's words, we can see things that eyes are completely unable to see, to visualize. Not that they're not real. Our eyes just can't see them. Faith is the radar screen on the ship going through the fog. God tells us things that our eyes can't see. And as the ship steers between the rocks and heads to the harbour, it is living a life of faith. And that's exactly what we do as Christians. Lives of faith. But of course, this is hard, isn't it? This is hard. It's hard to live a life of things that you can't see. Because there are lots of things in this world that we definitely can see and that people love to live their lives based on. For example, what things can we see? Well, we can see a bank balance, the numbers in our bank account. What else can we see? We can see a solid house. We can see a nice holiday. We can taste the best champagne. We can see it. We can taste it. We can touch it. It's got to make sense to live our lives oriented around that as being the thing, what life is all about. We can't see God's good promises to us. Sins forgiven, eternal life. What does faith mean? Well, faith means living our lives based on things that we can't see. Our eyes can't see, so we walk, we live by faith and not by sight. And as we do so around the office, at home, people look at our lives and say, huh, that's a life of faith. Faith is made concrete and tangible. As we move on in our hall of faith, this idea of living for things unseen becomes even more clear. And what is it exactly that they're living for becomes more clear. Well, what is faith? Well, the second heading on there, it's being sure of things hoped for. Sure of things hoped for. It's basically trusting that promised things in the future really are coming up. And we hope for them. And to show us this, we have Abraham's life. Let's see his face in the Hall of Faith. Verse 8, let me read. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For because he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So again, we might know this story in the Hall of Faith. God speaks to Abraham. He says, pack your bags and get the removal company in. I'm going to give you a nation, but it's over there. A land and a people, but they're over there. In the future, off you go. And Abraham, amazingly, I'm not sure how we'd respond if God did that to us. Abraham says, sure, let's go. Let's do it. Abraham trusts it. Things to hope for, and he goes. A life of faith. It's quite fun, the details here. He didn't even know where he was going. He lives in tents. He's like a permanent camping trip with his family for his entire life. Why would he do that? It's because it's a life of faith that he's living. He's sure of things hoped for. Received. Now, it's definitely worth talking about the word hope in English, because the word hope in English is actually particular most of the time. Because in English, we say the word hope, and what do we mean? Well, normally we mean we wish for something. I hope this will happen. I might say, oh, I hope my team wins the league, even though they've come near the bottom for the last decade. We say, I hope the investments come. I hope the central line won't be delayed. I mean, it could be 50-50, could go either way, who knows. The word hope, though, in the Bible is totally different. It's a completely different kind of thing. The word hope doesn't mean, oh, you know, maybe, possibly, you know, 50-50. The word hope is actually something that we're waiting for, and it is rock solid and secure. It is definitely happening. We just haven't got it yet. That's hope in the Bible. It's like saying, when we're in the middle of winter, oh, yeah, there is hope. Summer is coming. We're pretty sure summer's on the way. But actually, this is even more sure than that. God has said it. Abraham had a future, a hope, to live in this city with God, it says in verse 10, a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And that will come. Surely, certainly, it's rock solid. He's just got to wait for it. Hope. The same is true with Sarah. It goes on, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. And Sarah was an incredibly old woman in the Bible. And she's told she's going to have a son, and she hopes. And she gets the son. The son comes. But even for her, even for Abraham, the best, the very best of God's promises are still in the future. They're still to hope for. And that is the point of all of this. God's promises for us, as for them, are in the future. We are hoping for them. It says this in verse 13. This is the point. We pause on the hall of faith to sort of reflect. Let's pause. Verse 13, it says this. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And faith is, it has always been, it's been sure of things hoped for. And this is true. And this is actually always true. Even in the most extreme case, that's when death happens on the deathbed. Now, I guess if someone, one of our friends or family promised us something, we would expect them to keep their word. We would hope that they would, in the English word sense. But how long would we stay hopeful if a friend promised us something? Well, I guess how wait to return a phone charger they're borrowing? How long would we wait for that and be sort of hopeful they would return it? A few days, and then we'd probably pick up another one from the shop on the way home. And let's say a friend who says, "Oh yeah, come on a holiday with me. It's going to be great." How long would we wait for them to, you know, give the actual invite for the holiday with all the details? A couple of years, maybe. Not sure if it's going to happen after that. A family member who says, "You know, I'm going to give you this thing. I'm going to give you an inheritance." How long would we wait for that? Few decades, maybe. What if we were on our deathbed? The seconds are ticking before we close our eyes for the final time, and the promise still hasn't come. Would we still hold out hope then? Would you still think the promise is coming? Well, the most extraordinary thing in this passage is that even then, even in that very moment, faith looks like being sure that the promises are still coming. Even through death, even if we die first, God is strong enough to give us his promises. This is exactly what the rest of the Hall of Faith for today is talking about. Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Joseph, let's do Joseph, verse 22, at the end here. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, he's on his deathbed, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Joseph, you might know him from the play and all the rest of it. He had made it to second in command over Egypt, in control of the food and the livestock. This, head of markets, head of acquisitions and mergers, prime minister, all rolled into one. This guy has made it, Joseph. And even on his deathbed, he knows that he's still hoping for things that are going to come. The Exodus, 400 years away, it's going to come. New life for his dead bones. Resurrection. Life after death. These all died in faith, still not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Is ultimately Christian faith. Christian faith believes that even if we get to a dying breath, we still haven't received God's promises. That's okay. God is stronger than that. We are sure of things hoped for. Assurance made solid. And as we live our lives and based around this fact, that even if we get to our dying days and God's promises are still on the way, we live our lives oriented around God's promises, what he says, convinced of things unseen, sure of things hoped for, that is faith made concrete. Assurance made solid. People see the faith in our lives tangible. Faith made solid. Faith is being sure. I'm trusting in things hoped for. They're still to come. Even if we die. We know, I guess, if we are familiar with the Bible, what God promises us. He has made us promises too that haven't come yet. Jesus has died and risen to give us new life. Yesterday, but an eternal, an incredible life, in a new creation where all the awfulness of this world is taken away forever. What an incredible thing to believe. And it may well be that we live our lives and get to the end and we still haven't got this promise yet. But it's okay. God will still give it to us. And as we live this out, our faith is made visible, solid, concrete. This is Christian faith. This is exactly the examples of faith that we really need at this point in the book of Hebrews. I'd love to draw attention to, in the middle of the booklet, we've got this little snapshot of the book of Hebrews. We're taking Hebrews, actually we're taking quite big chunks of Hebrews each week. But even so, Hebrews is a massive book. There's so much going on. Here is sort of a snapshot overview of what we've been seeing in Hebrews. Chapters 3 and 4, well, what was the example there? It was the opposite of faith. The wilderness generation, Israelites, God's people before Jesus, wandering around the desert, it says they were faithless, unbelieving heart. They didn't believe what God said was true, even what they could see and touch and taste. They died. But then between then and now, what do we have? We had this new priest, Jesus, and better than what the priest that they had. We've got a new heart inside of us. We want to do what God says, different from what they do. And so now we are at the point that Hebrews has been aiming for the whole of the book. This is faith. A response to what God has said. This is the positive side of the coin. We've seen the negative before, but this is the positive side. What Hebrews is aiming at and what we can do with a new priest and a new heart. These are examples for us to copy, to imitate. And it's so encouraging to read this. I guess similarly to how a German might feel walking down the hallways of the Valhalla Memorial. I'm looking at Beethoven in the eyes. It's encouraging, yes. So good to see these lives of faith. And it's even more encouraging to see what God thinks of these lives. I guess we might have seen, as Alison was kindly reading for us, sort of the scatterings of God's opinions, what God thinks of these lives as we go through. Verse 2 actually summarizes it for us. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. I guess we enjoy commendation from people that we love, don't we? From our family members, from our boss. Job well done. Good job there. Well, God looks at this face, this faith, and he says, yes, well done. That is fantastic. A stamp of approval. This is the kind of faith that my people show. God commends this faith. How wonderful. And so we see as we come into land that faith, whatever we might have thought of faith at the beginning of the talk, that faith, well, it isn't some sort of vague cloud of positivity and good thinking, nor is it a leap into the dark. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm living this way, but I'm just going to do it. Faith is responding to God's word. Yes, I am trusting in things that I can't see. Yes, I am waiting for promises that I haven't got yet. But God said it. So it's real. So as we return to our desks and, I guess, head home, head to the weekend, head towards our summer, I want us to think about how this faith actually shapes everything, shapes our entire lives. We see it tangibly here. I suppose the question for us is, do we see faith tangibly in our lives? It shapes everything, how we talk, the words that we use when we're at work, when we're with our colleagues on a Thursday evening at drinks, how we use our paycheck, how we use our spare time. Faith shapes everything. We remember these lives of faith, and we live these lives of faith, knowing that when God sees them, he says, yes, well done, my people. I'll pray quickly to close. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Father, we ask that these words would be ringing in our ears as we go back to work. We pray that we would be these kind of people, knowing that we have a better country that is coming. We can't see it. We're still hoping for it. We pray that we'd orient our lives around this and live lives of faith. Amen.